Thank you all for being here on this another beautiful Lord's Day. I don't know about you, but I don't know of any place in the whole world I'd rather be on a Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock than here, right here at Prairie Village Church of Christ. And I thank all of you for coming. I want to talk to you this evening about things you need to know about the Bible. Things that you need to know about the Bible. The Bible. There has never before been a book like it, and there will never be another book like it. It is absolutely unique. A true Bible teacher recognizes that it is far more important for him to instill in his students the desire to study the Bible for themselves and the desire to search the Scriptures to see whether or not what he has taught is true than to merely declare to the class things that he has gleaned from his own study and expect them to accept it. So again, as always, I ask you to open your Bibles, follow along with me, don't take my word, only the Word of God, of course, which is the Bible. Now, a person may listen to 1,000 sermons, he may go to 2,000 Bible classes, but he will not have begun to show a proper respect for God's Word until he begins to study it for himself. How much does the average adult really know about the Bible? Well, very little indeed. How many are aware of its worth, of its importance, or its purpose, and of the treasures that it holds? Precious few. How many hold God's Word in the reverence that they should or have the respect for it that they ought to have? Not very many. What I would like to do this evening is to talk about several things that all men need to know and believe about the Bible. But first, let's take the negative side. Here are 10 commonly held misconceptions about the Bible that no person should believe. Understand that Satan is tickled to death when a person believes any one of these. First, there are many people who believe and teach that the Bible is a fraud, that it's a deception, a book that only purports to be a true divine revelation. This view makes the Bible the work of cunning, evil men. This is a view that we often hear from atheists and other such infidels. Second, those who believe and teach that the Bible came entirely from the mind of man and is, therefore, purely the work of human wisdom. It would follow, then, that the Bible makes false claims and is filled with numerous errors and contradictions because it is from the mind of man and it is work of antiquity. All who reject the divine inspiration of the Scriptures must take this position whether they like it or not. The third point. There are still others who believe and teach that the Bible was written by honest and sincere men who mistakenly thought that God was communicating with them and was guiding them in their writing. This view would make the Bible the product of good but deluded men and would bring it down to the level of all other so-called divine revelations. And you know, there are many religious people, even some who claim to worship Christ, who believe this about the Bible. The fourth point. Some believe and teach that the Bible is inspired in thought or in substance, but not in word. They believe that God provided the ideas and man supplied his own words. Again, with this view, we would expect to find numerous errors in the Bible and we would have a great deal of difficulty arriving that the original thoughts came from God. In spite of this, many take this view of the Bible. The fifth point. There are others who believe and teach that the Bible contains only part of God, only part of God's will. This is a position that is taken by many religious groups today, such as the Mormons, who believe that there was another testament of Jesus Christ after the Bible in the Book of Mormon. The Catholics teach that more of the will of God is contained in traditions preserved and passed down through the ages by the church. Still others say that various prophets have existed since the completion of the Bible who have revealed additional parts of the will of God. Some say that God's will can be found in human reasoning, human experience, or in the writings of great philosophers. The bottom line, they say, is that the Bible as we have it now is incomplete and inadequate to reveal God's will. The sixth point. There are others who believe and teach that the Bible, as we have it, is completely outmoded, it is out of date, it is archaic, it is totally irrelevant for the modern man. Seventh, some teach and believe that the Bible cannot be understood without the interpretation or explanation of proper authorities or the right organization. The Roman Catholics point to their book called the Teaching Magisterium, while the Jehovah's Witnesses point to the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Eighth, a very common misconception that many believe and teach is that the Bible cannot be understood alike by honest men and women who are diligent students and are sincerely trying to understand it. This is the propaganda that has been accepted by most religious people and that has discouraged many from even trying to read and understand the Bible. And ninth, yet again, still others believe and teach that the Bible is not authoritative. It is a good book, they say. It's a good book, but more of a loose, just a general guide to living rather than a complete and absolute guide. And fifth and final, and there are even some who believe that the Bible is a sacred book that is good to have around and will bless you and benefit you as long as you believe that it is God's Word. Brethren, this almost makes the Bible into a talisman or a good luck charm. Now, I'm sure that there are other misconceptions of the Bible, but these are 10 of the most common ones. And brethren and friends, let me tell you, it is important to realize that all 10 of them are wrong. All 10 of the views that we have mentioned originated in the mind of Satan, and the fact that so many people believe one or more of these misguided views of the Scriptures is proof that Satan is still operating and trying to turn people from the truth. Now then, how about the positive side? I want to present to you this evening 7 things that all people need to believe about the Bible. And brethren, we need to believe all 7 of them, and if we want to go to heaven when we die. First of all, mankind needs to believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, that it is a revelation of God and His will unto man. The writers of it make the bold claim that they were writing under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Thus saith Jehovah, the word of the Lord came unto me. These kinds of statements are made over and over again in the Bible. What they wrote did not come from the will of man. Look with me at 2 Peter chapter 1, if you would, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, we're told in verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Indeed, the very words found within its pages are not man's word. Believe me, they are not man's word, but the words given unto them by God. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here we see Paul makes this very same point in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Paul says, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, listen now, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, second point I want to make, brethren and friends, is that we all need to believe that the writers were honest men and reliable witnesses who hold the truth, even when the truth was sometimes rather embarrassing to them personally. Such men were Moses and Joshua, Jeremiah, and others in the Old Testament. Such men were Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Paul, and John, and James, and Peter, and Jude, the writers of the New Testament. Now go back to 2 Peter chapter 1 with me, if you would. 2 Peter chapter 1, this time verses 16 through 18. And when we get there, I want you to look with me at the stirring words of Peter chapter 2 Peter 1, Verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount." Come to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1. Now you may remember, John wrote in 1 John 1 and verse 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hand have handled of the word of life." Third, brethren, we all need to believe that the Bible is a complete revelation of God's will to man, containing all that the God has to say to us in this life, containing all that we need to know, all that we need to believe, and all that we need to do. We must believe this about the Bible. We're told in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 that it thoroughly furnishes us unto all good works. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 tells us that we have been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So my friends, if it thoroughly furnishes us, and if we have been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness, then that's all there is. There isn't any more. That's it. The fourth point. We all need to believe that the Bible is still perfect, complete, and all-sufficient, even after the passing of over 2,000 years. Does God, being God, have the power to provide man with a guide that will be sufficient for all time to come? Does He have the power to preserve it like as His by its providence? He sure does. Yes, He does. Consider with me, if you will, 1 Peter chapter 1. This should answer any question. 1 Peter 1, and we'll read verses 23 through 25 when you get there. Peter wrote, 1 Peter 1, verse 23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." Now listen to verse 25. "But the word of the Lord endureth forever," he says. "And this is a word by which by the gospel is preached unto you." The word of the Lord will endure forever. The fifth point. We all need to believe that the Bible is authoritative and binding upon us as an absolute standard. 2 John 9 shows us that this is true. Turn with me. It's a familiar passage. Probably most of you know it, but let's look at it together. 2 John 9. You remember here what John wrote? "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he is both the Father and the Son." Sixth point, we all need to believe that the Bible is understandable, that it is comprehensible. Does God have all power and is He therefore able to do all things? Yes, absolutely yes. Is the Bible the revelation of God's will to man? Yes, absolutely. Can man then understand the Bible? Well, what do you think? Do you think he can? Are we able to conclude that God wasn't able to make His Word understandable? Don't make sense, does it? Are we to believe that He chose not to make His Word understandable? Who in the world would believe that? So let's read together what He says in Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Paul wrote, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may listen now, you may understand, he says, my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He says you can understand the Bible when you read it. Go to Ephesians 5 and verse 17. Just a couple pages over. And Paul said in Ephesians 5 and verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understanding, you can understand it. Yes, the Bible, brethren and friends, can be understood by all. God is not the author of confusion. And seventh, and finally, we all need to believe that the Bible is the perfect and complete guide to the individual in all relationships and circumstances of life, to the individual in becoming and being a Christian, to congregations in all that they do and all they are, and all that they do. We need to believe that the Bible answers all of our important questions and provides the solutions to all of our serious problems. We must fashion our homes and run our businesses, regulate our jobs, and conduct our very lives by it. It will guide us in being husbands and wives and parents and citizens and friends and neighbors and brethren if we're Christians. The Bible is indeed the hope of the world, the communication of the Creator to His creatures. Do we reverence and respect it as the Word of God and give it the place in our hearts and lives that we should? I think each and every one of us has to answer that question to God. And let me tell you something, my friends. It will never bless us until we do. But oh, how it will bless us when we do. Sadly to say, we know that they're enemies of the Bible. And I want to name a few by name. The Roman Catholics say this about the Bible. They said it is incomplete and requires tradition. Well, let's compare what Jesus said in Matthew 15:6 about this. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 6. Jesus said, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus you have made the commandment of God of what now? Of none effect by what? By your tradition. Jesus said it is not incomplete and does not require tradition. And by the way, the Catholic Church was established in 606 A.D. in Rome, 600 years after the Bible was completed. So who are you going to believe? The Catholic Church or Jesus Christ? And the Lutherans. This is what they say about the Bible. They say it's faulty and it leaves out essential words. Well, let's compare what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13. Let's read it. We've read it once. Let's read it again. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. I want you to note here, the very words that the apostle spoke and wrote were chosen by God. Paul said it is not faulty. The Lutheran Church was established in Germany by Martin Luther in 1520 A.D. So who are you going to believe? You're going to be Martin Luther, a mere mortal man, or the Apostle Paul? The Baptists say this about the Bible. They say it's dead and needs quickening. Well, I want you to compare what the Hebrew writer says. Turn to Hebrews 4 and verse 12. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Holy Spirit said it is not dead and it does not need quickening. So again, I ask you, who are you going to believe, the Holy Spirit or the Baptist Church, which was started by John Smith in Holland in 1607 A.D. The Methodists have this to say about the Bible. They say it is indifferent and need not be followed. Well, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 14, if you would. Let's compare what Paul says. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 14, Paul says, "And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed." Paul said it is not indifferent and does need to be followed. So again, I asked you, who you going to believe, the inspired Apostle Paul or another denomination which was started by a mere mortal man, John Wesley, in England in 1739 A.D.? The holiness. They have this to say about the Bible. They say it is insufficient and needs miraculous accompaniments today. Well, let's look at Jude 3, see what he says about it. I want us to compare that to Jude verse 3. Jude wrote, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Once delivered unto the saints. The inspired writer Jude says that the Bible is sufficient and it does not need miraculous accompaniment. He said the truth is once delivered for all time. He said it is a permanent deposit. It will never be suspended. It will never be amended. It will never be modified. He said the Bible is perfect, it's adequate, and it is complete. So again, who are you going to believe, the inspired writer Jude or the Holiness Church, which was established in 1890 in America? The Christian Church says this about the Bible. They said it is tolerant and allows traditions. It is tolerant and allows tradition. Turn to 2 John 9. I know we've read it, but let's read it again. This is not what John says. He said, John says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine or the gospel of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine or the word of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." The Apostle John said it is not tolerant and does not allow additions as the Christian Church suggests. By the way, did you know that the Christian Church is only 107 years old? Did you know that? It was established in 1908. So who are they to tell the Apostle John that the Bible needs additions or allows for additions? One more. The skeptics say it is independable and lacks good witnesses. Turn with me to John 19 and verse 35. It says it lacks good witnesses. Well, the Apostle John says in John 19 and verse 35, "And he," that's John, "and he that saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe." John says it is true. It is true. So brethren and friends, you can see by the powerful hand of God, the Bible has been preserved. It has been preserved in an atmosphere not conducive to its survival. It has withstood every assault that has been made upon it by its many enemies. And some of the mightiest powers that have ever existed have sought to destroy it, only to fail. Someone once said, "What poor, guilty, fallen humanity craves for is a very different book. A book which tells of a remedy for hearts polluted with unholy imaginations, for the thief, the murderer, the reprobate, the outcast, for the tainted, this groaning, this travailing, and this sin-stained world." And such a book is the Bible. There is, my friends, no passage in the Scripture known to me that promises forgiveness of sins after death. And thus I say with Paul, now is the accepted time. Today is a day of salvation. Watch for your life, your words, and your actions. Study to know what would God have you to do. And when you sin, repent of it and ask your Heavenly Father for forgiveness. If you're not a Christian, you know this. If you're not a Christian, you are living in sin. And the only way to get out of sin, the only way to take care of that is to come forward when we sing the invitation song. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God. And then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And you'll rise up a new creature, born again. And this is the day that Jesus comes back. We'll all go home together. Maybe you're living it. Maybe you've done all this, but you've sinned in a way that others are aware of, or maybe you need the prayers of the church. We ask you to please come forward now and take care of that before you leave this building. Can we help anybody? If we can, help anybody in any way make your life right with God, please come forward as Bill leads us in the song. What is it, Bill?
Are you washed in the blood?
Oh, great one. Are you washed in the blood of Christ? That's the only way that you can get to heaven, to be washed in the blood. Thank you, Bill.